Want to extend Christian greetings to each one here this morning. Thankful to be here this morning. I'm also thankful for the provisions that were made from my life that we can be here. If it wasn't for the grace and love and mercy of God, none of us would be here. And for this sacrifice that was given. This morning I felt led to take my passage here, start out with looking at as a text from Brother Isaiah chapter 53. Brother Conrad already touched on this. And the title of my message this morning is The Man of Sorrows. Let's read this passage at this time. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form to comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him, stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living, and for the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him as portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he hath poured out his soul into death, and was numbered with the transgressors, and bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. This name, Man of Sorrows. We may ask, why does Jesus have to go through such suffering for us? As I thought about this subject and what we're remembering in this special service, is that suffering is very much involved in being a follower of Christ. We'll look into that a little more as we go into look into this. Jesus here willingly offered his life for you and for me. As we go through this morning, I'm going to bring out, we want to look at in the New Testament, and what this chapter here was bringing out, how it happened just exactly that way. And it's things we've heard probably many times, but we call this service a time of remembrance, a time of thinking and reflecting what Jesus did for us and what he went through. And I trust that as we think of what Christ did for us, that it will motivate us to a deeper devotion and reverence for him and for what he has asked us to do for him. You know, in the Old Testament time, when they killed an animal for the blood sacrifice, it was done without much suffering. It was done quickly. But God, it says it pleased the Lord that Jesus had went through this. And let's look at why that is this morning. In Hebrews 9, verse 22, it says, And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Blood needed to be shed in order for sin to be taken care of. Also, I'd like to look at Hebrews chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. When you look at how they had to offer many, many sacrifices, how many times a year, for different things and to cover their sins in that day. It says, the beautiful thing we can experience in our day is that Jesus made this sacrifice. He was a sinless, spotless lamb, and he did it once for all. It was complete. As we look at Christ's suffering this morning, we will see how depraved man is, left to themselves and without Christ. When we see what man did to Christ and what man is still doing today, we can see the depravity of man without Christ. First point I'd like to look at is the things that Jesus suffered. There's so many scriptures here we could turn to, we just do not have the time. So I'm going to go through, I'm trying to make this so the children can understand, to think of Christ's love as we look at what Christ faced. For 30 years, Jesus suffered temptation, the daily struggles against sin that we endure. Hebrews 2, verse 18 says, For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Christ faced much more than we will ever face in our lifetime, in his short 30 years. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, it says, For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but he was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. I find this comforting this morning to know that Jesus understands all our suffering, our temptations that we face. And it says he is touched. He cares. He understands the things we face. He has compassion. He helps us through these times. Jesus experienced rejection, even by his own hometown. Jesus faced blasphemous accusations when he was doing good. Jesus faced derision, ridicule, mockery by the Pharisees. Jesus faced deceitful questions seeking to ensnare him. Men were constantly trying to put him in a corner or to trip him up. Jesus even faced defection by many of his disciples. Jesus even endured ridicule, even by members of his own family. Jesus had to put up with the ignorance of many, the multitudes of people around him. There also was an anticipation. There was the anticipation of what was coming. Jesus explained this to his disciples, what was to come. And through this, it brought some anxiety to them. They couldn't understand it. They had many questions for him. It says these things were hid from them. Jesus told his disciples on three different occasions what was to happen. The disciples' lack of understanding prevented them from being any source of comfort to Jesus through this time. Then we look at the Passover meal. What were the disciples busy doing? It says they were arguing amongst themselves who is the greatest. Jesus had to help them to see what it takes to be a follower of him. An humble servant. At this supper, Jesus announced that there would be betrayal, abandonment, denial. Even when Jesus faced these many difficult things, in Philippians 2, verse 7, it says that he humbly made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. Jesus even got down and showed them how to love and care for one another and to wash each other's feet. Then we look at Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. There was the great agony as Jesus prayed. The disciples could not even stay awake to watch with him. Judas came and found Jesus and betrayed him with a kiss. Jesus was forsaken by all his disciples. Jesus was then arrested and bound. Before Annas, father-in-law to Caiaphas, the high priest, here's where Peter denied that he knew Jesus. We know that story of how he was asked three different times, and he denied Jesus. Jesus was struck with a blow to the face. It says one of them, when he was before Caiaphas, smote him with the palm of his hand. Jesus was sent away and bound. Now he's before Caiaphas. Jesus was falsely accused by many people. The physical abuse intensified during this time. They spit on his face. He was blindfolded. Some of the council beat him. The officers struck him with their palms. Then they even made fun of him. Asked him to prophesy, who struck him? Prove, who struck you? Who struck me? Before the council in the morning, after consulting together, they bound Jesus again. He was led away, delivered to Pilate. Before Pilate, the Roman governor, in John 18, verse 28 to 29, his accusers would not even enter in with him. Jesus was falsely charged there. Many of them falsely accused him. Then before Herod the king, the chief priests and the scribes loudly accused him. Jesus was abused by Herod and his men. He was treated ugly, as worthless, and mocked. Jesus was arrayed in gorgeous robe and sent back to Pilate. Now Jesus before Pilate the second time. We know what happened there. The people even got more intense with their demands. Release Barabbas instead of Jesus. A murderer, a robber, a rebel is released instead of Jesus. The crowd demanded and cried out, screamed out, crucify him. Jesus was then delivered to be scourged, abused by the Roman soldiers. Jesus was led away into a hall, and they called together a whole band of people. They stripped him and put on a scarlet robe. They placed a crown of thorns on his head, a reed in his right hand. They even, at this point, bowed the knee to him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." Again, they spat on him, struck him on the head with a reed. They continued mocking him, then stripped him of the robe and put it on his own clothes back on him. Then they led him away to be crucified. Now we're looking at the journey to Golgotha. At first, he bore his own cross. I can see Jesus bearing under the burden of the weight of the sin of the whole world and carrying that cross. A great crowd was following him, including women, it says, who are mourning and lamenting for him. In a time of extreme suffering and heavy weight, Jesus had what he had was able to notice and what these women were doing. And he says, he turned to them and says, "Daughters, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children." At the crucifixion, Jesus refused the sour wine mixed with gall. They crucified him as he cried out to God, "Forgive them." The soldiers divided his garments, casting lots for them. People stood, looking on. Some blasphemed. The chief priests with the scribes mocked and sneered, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if he be the Christ, the chosen of God." The soldiers also mocked him. Then we have the two thieves who reviled him. One persisted in blasphemy, the other repented. You could say the first born-again believer acknowledged Christ and was promised by Jesus to be with him in paradise. For 6 hours, Jesus hung on the cross. Finally, Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Jesus had the weight of bearing the sins of the whole world. We know that after that, says Jesus, died, he gave up the ghost. And prophesied in the text passage, Jesus was stricken, as we, in Isaiah 53, it says he was stricken, smitten, afflicted, wounded and bruised, chastised, endured stripes, and oppressed, and led to the slaughter. He was even cut off from the land of the living. We might ask, why did it please the Lord to bruise him, to put Jesus to grief? This brings us to our second point, the reasons that Jesus suffered. As we think about the first part that I went through here and what Jesus, how man treated Jesus, you know, that was you and me. And this, it just made me think of how undone we were and how desperate we were in need of a Savior. Man has no power reserved to hold back from doing awful things outside of Christ. Christ is, we must know him in order to find victory in our lives. So why did Jesus suffer? We know Jesus suffered to bring us back to God. You know, our Father in heaven desired right from the beginning when Adam and Eve sinned that this restoration of worship with his creation, the man and woman that he created, it says he created him, we were created in his image. God desired that close relationship with man again, a relationship where there was a communion, one back and forth, communication. Also, Jesus' suffering was motivated by his great love and mercy. It says in 1 John chapter 4 that God sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Suffering also reveals the terribleness of sin. And we know that when one continues in sin, what is at the end? It brings death. The suffering reveals the greatness of God's love. Like it says in John 3:16, it shows the love of our Father. In John 15, verse 13, Jesus says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Jesus taught us by example the love of the Son for his children. Yes, Jesus was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. Jesus was willing to suffer to be our high priest. We know a good high priest must be compassionate. Jesus' suffering prepared him to be the perfect high priest, to aid those who face temptation, to sympathize with our weaknesses, to appreciate the challenge of living in obedience. Thus, Jesus lives ever ready to intercede for us. I'm thankful today that Jesus is there to provide mercy and grace in time of need. Jesus is there to provide strength to conquer in times when we're facing trial. Jesus also was willing to suffer to be an example for us of suffering for the sake of righteousness. At times when we are mistreated for doing good, Jesus also taught us how we should trust in God to judge rightly. Our persevering in the battle against sin, as we seek to live for the will of God and not the lust of the flesh. How we are to look and how we are to endure the ridicule of those in the world around us. He taught us how to love one another and loving our enemies. Love one another as Jesus loved us. Blessing those who curse you, do good to those who hate us, and pray for those who persecute us. Jesus' suffering this morning also illustrates how far we must go for the sake of love and righteousness. Philippians chapter 1, verse 29 says, for unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. Suffering is such a part of a walk of life with Christ. You know, suffering, we tend to shy back from it. We cringe because it's often unpleasant. But if we truly love our Lord and we see what Christ did for us, we will be motivated to go through the trials faithfully. We know that the promise is there that he will see us through these times. Love for Christ in our hearts will motivate us to live in obedience and suffer for the cause of Christ. Christ understands our suffering and he will give us strength and need, and we just need to endure to the end. Through Christ, hatred is replaced with love. Bitterness is replaced with forgiveness. Despair and fear is replaced with hope and assurance. Emptiness is replaced with purpose and meaning. The fear of death is replaced with anticipation of heaven. In closing, I'd like to look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 19. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing, as unto a faithful Creator. God is interested in each of our lives and what we're going through. May we be faithful in what we suffer. There is a purpose and a reason for it. And let's let it refine us and mold us into what God has intended for us to be. A song came to my mind as I was going through this, and it just says it in a clearer way than I could, but I thought I'd read it this morning. It just touched my heart. Written by Philip Bliss. Man of Sorrows, what a name. Man of Sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came. Ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Bearing shame and scoffing rude, in my place condemned he stood. Sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Guilty, vile, and helpless we. Spotless Lamb of God was he. Full atonement, can it be? Hallelujah, what a Savior. Lifted up was he to die. It is finished, was his cry. Now in heaven, exalted high. Hallelujah, what a Savior. When he comes, our glorious King, all his ransom home to bring, then anew this song we'll sing. Hallelujah, what a Savior. May God add his blessing.